It is 8:42 and 59 seconds. And we have Katie Texas here in the K-Home studio.
Hey, good morning. I finally made it.
You made it! Yeah!
Thanks for rescuing me, Cliff.
that was an unusual morning.
That was catastrophic, I think.
Yeah, see, this is what happens when you get a reliable vehicle.
Right, yeah.
You start thinking you're not going to have any problems.
It's like, oh good, nothing's going to go wrong with this truck. It's practically brand new.
But, you know, it acted like a kinetic sculpture, and I think you get the Golden Dinosaur Award now for being the first to break down in kinetic season.
At least I didn't get the Golden Flipper.
There you go. That is true. That is true. Ah, well, you made it here.
I'm here.
Next month is May, and that's all things kinetic.
There's kinetic month in Humboldt. I'm very excited.
So much coming up.
Yeah, definitely. I just launch right into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess that probably the first big event is going to be the Kinetic Classic, right?
Yeah. Well, the night before that, actually, mm-hmm. for Arts Alive, I don't know if you know, but the mm-hmm. Kinetic Museum Eureka has been open for more than a year now.
Right across from the co-op.
Yeah, right across from the co-op. It's in the alley, but when it's open, they put out lots of like tall bikes and trikes and flags and crazy stuff so you can find it. And we've been open for Arts Alive, and we will be open for this Arts Alive. And I believe that they're going to be showing some kinetic films. We got some The Glory Road by our kinetic video team and some other great shorts and things. And we just project them up there on the wall so folks can go in and check out the old kinetic sculptures and watch some neat footage from the race.
Fantastic.
We just play a loop of Dwayne Flatmo flipping in the dunes over and over again for hours.
It's always a classic.
But then the day after that, so that's May 7th, Arts Alive, obviously. And then the day after that, May the 8th, which happens to be my birthday.
Yay.
And also Mother's Day is the Kids Kinetic Classic at the Sacco Amphitheater on the Eureka waterfront. That's the amphitheater between the Adorney Center and Halverson Park, where we have the day one finish line.
Right.
And that's going to be super fun. We started that a few years ago. I think 7 years ago now. So that there's not an age between conception and death when you can't participate in a kinetic event in Humboldt.
Sure.
So we started this. It starts with kids can participate in three age categories. There's the Ruta Baby Buggy Bouncers, and that is babies and their families all the way up through preschool, so basically before they go into kindergarten, mm-hmm. and it's just a parade. They get decorated, they get all up in costumes, and they parade around the rally course with some music, and it's really fun. And then the next level up is the Rutabaga Rally, and that's kids in kindergarten through third grade in teams of 1 to 10, and it's like a teamwork exercise. They come up with a team song, a theme, and they decorate whatever their regular ride is, as long as it's got wheels. So
Right. Bikes,
trikes, skateboards, whatever, you know, the cozy coupe, whatever it happens to be, and they go all around the rally course as a team, like all as a big group, and they have to help each other through it, and they get awards for art, speed, and engineering, just like the big kids,
right.
as well as team song. And then this is all judged by Rutabaga royalty, by the way, so you get to meet some
naturally.
Queens while you're out, yeah. After that is the next older group, which is 4th, 5th, and 6th graders, and they actually get to build. We challenge them to build their own kinetic push cart, which is kind of like a soapbox racer.
Sure.
In that it doesn't have a drive. They have to build something that can be pushed and has brakes and steering. And one team person rides in it and steers and brakes, and the other person pushes it, and they go around the rally course once, then the pilots switch places, and then they go around again. And of course, they are competing for speed for awards in art, speed, and engineering.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we like to, you know, kind of ramp it up, start with the pageantry and the decoration and move all the way up to building. And we've had people then graduate on to being in some of the big kid races.
Mm-hmm.
Our race has a bottom end age limit of 16. So I know some of our grand champions from the Kinetic Classic, which are actually called the Perfect Nut. That's the grand champion award there, the Perfect Nut. We've had some Perfect Nuts go on to race in Corvallis and Port Townsend and some of the other other sister races around the country that are smaller. Mm-hmm. They don't have to have an age limit like we do because they're more like an obstacle course where we're like the triathlon.
The big deal, right?
Yeah, yeah. There's no dead man's drop in Corvallis. As much as they want to truck in that much sand.
Yeah, we have it naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We do.
Yeah, and we have the course is really adorable. I think it's a great thing to for mom. Like, what do moms like more than how adorable their kids are? We do tiny little versions of all the kinetic high points. So there's a tunnel they go through. Well, I guess we don't have a tunnel in the big kids race. There's a little Lolita Hill, which is a big wooden ramp that they have to go up and down. Surprisingly challenging. There's the Soggy Bottoms metal dig, where rather than making them pedal through a sand dune, we make them get off their sculpture and dig through sand to find their medals. And then the water hazard, rather than putting the kids in the water, we put the water on the kids. So the water hazard is actually just a bunch of clowns with water guns.
There you go.
Yeah, you know. And so that's a really fun day. Of course, like the big kids race, in case of sunshine, the Kinetic Classic will happen anyway.
Of course. And that is on Mother's Day. And how do people sign up for this?
You know, you can just come to the Sacco Amphitheater at noon and sign up. The whole event starts at 1 o'clock. Or you can go to kineticclassic.org and find forms there. You can send them in to the museum, to the address that's provided. Or you can just, you know, print out your forms and bring them on the day.
Fantastic.
It's, of course, free for everybody, free to watch. But for an entry fee, we do ask folks to bring a non-perishable food item, new socks or shoes, or a gently used toy that'll be donated to local family charities.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I've seen this thing many times, and I remember there was a family that came in from, I forget where, way out of town.
From Port Townsend. And they had a whole family thing. They had kids of multiple ages. So the older boys were old enough to do the building. So they built a push cart. The next year they built a better push cart, because that's what we like to see. And the younger daughter actually built, you know, she did the decorated bike part of the race. And those kids, their family, had the option of coming to watch the Kinetic Grand Championship or coming down to participate in the Kinetic Classic, because it's quite a trip for them.
Yeah.
And they chose to come and participate in the Kinetic Classic. And they've actually been doing it since we moved it into Eureka, just every year.
Wow. That's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that one. It's been a lot of fun to build that one up, and I like to, you know, hook them young, as we say.
So the next big thing after that, I assume, is going to be the Rutabaga Ball.
Of course, the Rutabaga Ball on May 21st. In between there, mm-hmm. the Kinetic Museum is actually open every weekend. So
great.
We're actually having a party at the in that middle weekend when we don't have an event. Normally, the classic would be the week after Arts Alive, but it just works out. It's the same weekend this year. So there'll be more kinetic films and great old sculptures. We have a bunch of stuff from the early 80s and actually two of the very first sculptures. Hobart's son, Justin Hobart Brown, The Glorious Reason, has loaned us the pentacycle.
Oh, wow.
So we have the original on display, as well as the Inchworm, Bob's Buggy, and some other really antique crafts, the ones that were
original.
Yeah, you know, the first race was just two blocks down Main Street in Ferndale here. So the sculptures were a lot more difficult to move, but a lot more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
The inchworm is exactly what it sounds like. It moves like an inchworm. Rather than pedaling or pushing, the whole frame opens up and closes, and it inches along the ground. I was just reading in Stan Bennett's book, Crazy Contraptions, about the first race that it took that pilot, like 2 hours to get down Main Street.
Wow.
But they were getting all kinds of glory on the way. So yeah, if you're out on that weekend, the museum is open Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 2:12 until 6:32.
Perfect.
In honor of Hobart Brown's unique way of scheduling things.
Yes.
And then after that, Saturday, May 21st at Redwood Rocks in Arcata, and the old Arcata Creamery Arts District, is the Rutabaga Ball.
There you go. Now, this is when Rutabaga royalty is crowned. You, of course, are a Rutabaga queen.
I am. I am Rutabaga queen, lot of paint buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked me what does that mean? What does a lot of paint buckets mean? I said,
An artist.
I've got a lot of paint buckets.
Yeah, don't read too much into it.
Right, yeah, that's it. There's buckets. They're full of pain.
It's not that
it's
deep.
As simple as that.
That's right.
But, yeah, we've got some great contestants this year. They've been putting in their applications already. And we definitely have four, which is pretty normal. We might even have five or six contestants, which is going to be crazy.
Wow, that's a lot.
They're out there choreographing dance numbers and building bribes and getting all ready for that three-round pageant to choose the reigning monarch for the next year.
Fantastic. And, of course, they have to demonstrate various different things. They need to really know about rutabagas, naturally.
Naturally. They need to know about rutabagas. It doesn't hurt if they know something about kinetics.
That also helps.
We like to throw them curveballs. They do get asked the same questions. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes we just throw them a little like, oh, by the way, you know. And I think they need to be ready for challenges and surprises, just like the kinetic racers.
Right. There is a quote-unquote talent portion.
Yeah. Talent.
Talent
portion. Air quotes.
And there is a water crossing, of course.
An indoor water crossing.
Indoor
we bring the
crossing.
Bay
That's right.
inside. Yep. No, I'm kidding.
Well, it's however they interpret it. And there's been some pretty creative interpretations.
Of course, when I ran, I wanted the judges to be safe, so I gave them water wings.
You know, good idea.
We've had contestants bring in full size kinetic sculptures. Mm-hmm. We've had juggling, dancing, food. Of course, the queens get bribed by the contestants. And that's not the point. You can't buy the crown for sure. It's all about the personality. I think, having the desire to be the center of attention wherever you go is like the basic thing. That's really like you need that queen personality.
Absolutely.
Of course, queen is not a gender specific term.
No.
Both men and women and anyone in between can run and earn a crown. And we've had multiple people, you know, all across the spectrum run and have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. And of course, there is a ball gown competition.
Yeah, we start with ball gown.
Yeah.
You went backwards.
I did go backwards.
Yeah, it was a talent. Yeah.
So it's a kinetic way.
it starts with ball gown. You know what I've never seen is an actual gown made of balls.
Mm.
That would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Like those playground balls,
sure.
You know? That would be interesting. Like that. Yeah, you know, ball gown, question and answer, and then the water crossing. And the contestants really go all over the place with it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it depends on what their particular talent happens to be. We've had singing, you know, people might sing a song, they might recite epic poetry. We had for the water crossing, Queen Jima and her crew did a synchronized swimming activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then actually Jima got in a bit of trouble there and started drowning on the floor in the grange.
Scary moment.
Or the Portuguese Hall at the time, I think, and was saved by some handsome young men in Speedos. So I think that was actually our bribe for that round, was handsome young men in Speedos. And we didn't get to keep them or anything. They just came out and titillated us with feathers.
That works.
That was, you know, that's actually, people make a big deal out of the bribes and the fact that the queens are getting bribed, but that was my favorite bribe. Not the men, the fact that these guys in Speedos came out and they rescued Jima, and then they came over to the judges' table and they started like tickling us with these big feathers. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he says, I'm titillating you. And then he gave me the feather, and I still have that feather, and that's my favorite bribe because it came with a joke.
I think it's great that we have two of the members of the Eureka City Council are are kinetic folks. We have a rutabaga queen, Jima.
Jima herself, Natalie Arroyo.
Natalie Arroyo. And, of course, Kim is a kinetic pilot. So
absolutely.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to the proclamation every year. Mm-hmm. The different cities along the course invite us into their official government chambers and read silly things in a somber voice about how awesome kinetics is. And I'm looking forward to Queen Jima or Kim herself reading the kinetic proclamation in Eureka. That's going to be a good one.
That'll be wonderful. And so the rutabaga ball again. It's at Redwood Racks.
Redwood Racks.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
Saturday, May 21st. Doors open
time.
At 7, show at 8.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a very, very exciting, very special musical guest this year. You want to guess who it is? You know who it is.
I already know.
It's Lizzie and the Moonbeams.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, yeah. Queen Taylor is a good friend of theirs. And so, Queen Lady Luck is a good friend of theirs. And so she recommended them. And we were trying to decide. We watched a video of them on YouTube and decided, like, these are the people for us. So we invited them over. They're very excited to be part of the ball. And we're very excited, too, because after the competition and the queen is crowned, you get to boogie into the night with a pretty cool band.
Fantastic. And, of course, once we have Rutabaga royalty. Now, there can only be one queen crowned, but everyone else becomes part of the Rutabaga royalty. They become...
Indeed. Competing for the crown, which, by the way, is a beautiful piece of artwork by Scott Hemphill, who does these wonderful metal pieces, and he's been making our crowns for the last few years, and just they've just been getting more and more and more gorgeous. I am so jealous. I want to run again just so I can get one of his crowns. Running for the crown and putting yourself through that earns you the title of Rutabaga Princess. So the princesses get sashes, they get the royal treatment, but of course there can only be one queen.
That's right. That is right. And of course, princesses can certainly run for queen again.
Oh, absolutely.
They often have.
In fact, this year we do have an entry who has sweetened herself up. Last year, Princess Poison Candy.
Oh, yes.
This year is running as Candy of Confection. So she has removed the poison and gone straight into the sweet stuff. So she'll be all about candy this year.
A little more palatable.
I hope so. We also have Lady Lasagna of Luncheonshire.
Nice.
Who is the granddaughter of our grand dame, Queen Pigtunia, the only queen to ever win two crowns. That's a legacy and a half.
That's right.
We also have Baron Von Snooze, who I hear has an obsession with beards. I'm not sure exactly what that's
okay.
about. And, oh no, I'm forgetting one. She's going to get mad at me.
And others.
And others.
And more.
And the competition, of course, starts and finishes at the ball. So right. Not trying to give anybody extra airtime here.
Then, of course, there is the big event on Memorial Day weekend. The great Arcata to Ferndale Kinetic Sculpture Race, also known as the Kinetic Grand Championship. The granddaddy of them all. The one that started the whole worldwide thing right here.
The triathlon of the art world.
That's right.
3 days, 10 events, 5 municipalities. We stretch it out. By far, Humboldt's largest event. Largest free-to-watch family event. We've got a lot of great things coming up this year. Of course, we're going to do the pageantry and everything on the plaza. Mm-hmm. You get to the plaza Saturday morning by 10 o'clock. The race starts at noon, but if you show up at noon, they're going to be gone.
That's right.
So get there at 10, watch the teams go through the rigorous judging. And there's all, they go through ACE judging, art, engineering, and safety. You get to watch them get picked apart. The brake test, and where Ramp Meister risks his life in front of experimental crafts every year. Hoping that they have included brakes in their sculpture.
I've raced with Hobart. I know what it means not to have brakes.
Oh, yeah. I was actually on Dwayne's team the year we ran Ramp Meister over.
Oh, boy.
It wasn't because we didn't have brakes, though. It was. I think Dwayne was just mad. He was just frustrated. No, I'm just kidding. After the plaza, the teams at the noon siren, which, by the way, we have control of.
Yeah.
When the noon siren was retired, they donated it to the Kinetic Museum, which is where it sits right now.
How wonderful.
We have an engineer on the board who has made arrangements with Don's Rental. They're going to sponsor the race by loaning us a lift and a generator so that we can bring the siren back out. We're going to put it over near the plaza. And at noon, or whenever I decide that noon is, we're going to go ahead and set off the siren. And then the teams start like racing like mad around and around and around the plaza until everybody's moving.
Usually in the same direction.
Usually. And usually actually rolling. And then as soon as everybody's moving, the Rampmeister decides that it's time to go. And he opens the gate and the teams pour out into the Arcata Bottoms, led by Arcata's antique fire engine. which is a glory that they enjoy every year, go out through the crowds, through the bottoms, and all the way out to the Manila Dunes Community Center, where there is a big festival, party, food, drinks, and the teams prepare to go into the sand dunes.
That's right. That's where they change into their sand gear. That is where I raced last year, and we made it to there, and that's when we realized we were about to lose our ace, because we could go 10 feet on sand. That was what? As far as we could go.
Were you on Who's Your Daddy?
We were on Who's Your Daddy 2.
Okay.
Yeah. It made it as far as 10 feet.
Why?
It just could not go in the sand.
Oh, no.
It was just like, you know, it was just like the gearing was just not right. It was just like, we were like breaking chains to putting that much torque on. I was like, okay.
Yeah. And you're still getting glory. That's okay. Get off and push.
Yep.
Yeah, you lose your ace, but you can still win the race.
At least we lost on the first day, and we went, okay, the rest of it's just fun.
Yeah. You know, there's some pressure that goes off. Once you lose your ace, you can start switching out pilots. You can start pushing through the hard parts. Yeah. As long as you don't stick that machine on a trailer, you're still getting glory. As long as you human power it from Arcata all the way to Ferndale, you're in good shape.
Yeah, that's right. So
that's surprising, because Hoosier Daddy was actually really, really good on the sand. You know, I raced on Hoosier Daddy the first year.
The big one.
The big one.
I did the big
one. With the big tires.
Yeah, I did. I was on that one.
I was on that one the first year we put it out. That was the classical news.
Oh, I remember that. Controversy.
The only ever all-naked kinetic team. Mm-hmm. excuse me. And
there were bodysuits, but it didn't matter.
Yeah, we were wearing
bodysuits. Didn't matter. People were still offended.
Didn't help my mom. she said,
it looks nude, though.
Yeah. My mom said, said my favorite thing, which is, oh, Katie. I was just like, hey, Mom, you got to keep see my kinetic sculpture this year. It was really fun. We had a lot of fun. She just looks at me. She's like, oh, Katie. That's what she says.
All she needs to say.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, that was, we had our ace all the way through the sand that year, of course, because that one with the big fat tires and the super low gearing, we were just blowing them away. And then as soon as you hit the road.
Too slow.
our top speed is like 3 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody else.
I've been on that too. Yeah, the ace was probably lost on the bridge as too much time went by. Yeah,
right.
It's like, ah!
Actually, our ace that year was lost when we hit the water, and the paddle wheel went around twice and then just exploded. That was it.
As it tends to do that.
But so far we're at the dunes. We've gone to the Mineola Dunes and then head out along the lovely beach and up to Dead Man's Drop.
Right. Always a very favorite spot to watch the race, watch the sculptures plunge down that huge embankment.
Yeah, it's like a 100-foot sand dune.
It's big.
It takes forever going up and way less time going down.
Way less time.
It's got a serious left-hand pitch, so you often see machines going down with all of their pilots hanging off the right-hand side of it to keep it upright.
Yeah, it changes every year because it's just a natural sand dune, so it does change every year. And it's always a bit treacherous, and people love watching. They want to see you succeed, but they really want to see you crash.
There's a special award for that.
The golden slipper.
Yeah,
that's right.
If you're gonna go out there, though, it's a beautiful hike. It's a really, really fun bit of the race to watch. You definitely bring plenty of water because it is a hike, and some bug spray or netting because man, those dune mosquitoes will carry you off.
They're huge.
Yeah, they're ridiculous.
They are scary huge. And this year, because it's been such a wet year, I'm guessing this is going to be a big mosquito year, because it's already mosquito-y.
If you can just get a full-body mosquito net, that would probably be the best thing.
And if you are heading out there, I suggest, you know, you may be an eco-friendly person, abandon that. Go 100% DEET.
DEET it up.
Just DEET it up, because, wow, those things are amazing.
Oh, and day one ends at the Halverson Park after party, and that's the big field on the Eureka waterfront right next to the Adorney Center. We're doing a lot. That's where the teams, they cross the finish line and they park for the night. So you can go and look at the sculptures up close and look at all the damage that they suffered on day one.
It's a private party, but everyone's invited.
Right. It's a super secret after party
right.
that everybody gets to go to.
Mm-hmm.
And there's food and a beer garden, and you know, we're building up some other fun activities. Just trying, we want folks to hang out and cheer the teams on and give them some glory as they cross the finish line. So we're trying to give them, you know, more and more stuff to do while they're waiting. So we're just trying to build that up. But there's definitely the opportunity to like hang out with the teams as they cross the finish line.
That's right. Day two, of course, is the water crossing, mm-hmm. which is always a lot of fun.
Teams are going to enter under the Samoa Bridge, and hopefully they will float.
Most of the time they do. Oftentimes that will be their water test, is when they enter the water for the first time.
Yeah, many. Usually when teams flip over or sink, it's because they have not been in the water yet.
They haven't tried it.
Yeah. They haven't been there. So they get in the water under there. There's an award for biggest splash. Of course, I believe Kaham will be at the water entry.
Entry and exit.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. And do we know which direction it's going this year? It all depends on the tide.
So they'll be getting in at the Samoa Bridge and heading up and getting out at the, heading like down bay and getting out at the public marina.
Racers much prefer that because they don't have to double back.
Oh, yeah. Waking up and going to Halverson Park, pedaling to the marina to get into the water, to go to the bridge, to get out of the water, like doubling around is just really miserable. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of time. So until we actually manage to control the tides, we're just going to be grateful that this year they're going the right direction.
After that, do they still stop at Eureka Natural Foods?
They do. Mm-hmm. ENF is going to be sponsoring again this year. They feed the pilots. And so all the teams stop there for a pit stop. And you can come out and see them, see the teams as they come through, maybe grab a snack. We'll be heading through the Palco Marsh and out to the Hikshari Trail, where there's a very mm-hmm. tiny little mud ditch that we make them cross, whether they like it or not.
Right.
But the Hikshari Trail is actually a really beautiful little bit of the South Eureka waterfront. We added in a year before last.
It is wonderful. It is a the existing part of the Eureka Waterfront Trail that mm-hmm. the rest will be hooking into. And there is a bridge that is too small, so they have to go around it and down that dip that you were talking about.
Yeah. They're supposed to be all-terrain. They should be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of did in the paddle wheel on the Hoosier Daddy a couple years ago.
It is a narrow ditch.
It is.
Yeah, you're in a scrape, but take it at an angle. Sometimes it's fun just watching them maneuver that. It is a legal push. Mm-hmm. So, if your machine doesn't weigh 2,000 pounds like the Hoosier Daddy, they can quite legally pick it up and walk through if
That's
they
right.
want to.
And, of course, after that, it's
Lolita Hill?
No, not available for spectators at this point, and that rely on K-Home Radio to let you know what's going on because they're going off up Lolita Hill.
We can watch on Lolita Hill, mm-hmm. Which is actually fun because they're going really, really slow.
Mm. Oh, up that hill.
Yeah.
Really
spectators
slow.
Will come out and park on the other side of the street, so not in the way of the sculptures. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I remember pedaling up that hill in the Hoosier Daddy. I think it goes at about 0.02 miles an hour up that hill.
Yeah.
But it does go.
The pit crew is crawling along beside you. They walk a little bit, take a break, mm-hmm. you know, have a drink. Walk along. My favorite thing is that there are people whose houses are along there, and they just come out and bring you cookies.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, here's some cookies.
And then off to Crab Park from there, which is, of course, that is fully private.
Private racers party. We camp on the beach for the night. Let's see. What do? We arrive. We hold hands and watch the sunset. We mm-hmm. eat a nutritious meal and go to bed early.
And sing Kumbaya.
And sing Kumbaya.
Yeah, that's right. And go to bed early. Wake refreshed mm-hmm. for the next water crossing.
Now, for many years, we have left the beach and crossed the mouth of the Ill River to go up the Morgan Slough, but it was so dependent upon the tides. We mm-hmm. couldn't get in the slough until there was enough water. So we've been looking for another way around. And last year, we found it. Now, teams leave Crab Park, go back up Cannibal Island Road, go through Lolita over to Fernbridge, where they go down to the Warswick Bar, and they actually cross the Eel River under Fernbridge. So spectators can go on the Ferndale side of Fernbridge and park along one of the roads there on the shoulder. And, you know, please don't park on the side of the freeway. We don't provide parking, but we're just counting on the public to have some common sense.
Right.
And, you know, not cross the freeway on their feet. So, you know, find a safe way to get over there. And you can go down to the river bar and watch the machines cross under Ferndale, which I have to say is really cool.
It is fun.
It's picturesque. ask.
And we did that last year, and it's really a lot of fun. And you have to, make sure you don't get swept down down river and back out to where you started at the mouth of the hill.
Yeah, and the spectators are all on the south, or on the Ferndale side of Fern Bridge.
Right.
It's only racers on the other side because we actually is a protected habitat. So we have a biologist that goes down and surveys the river bar to make sure that we're not interrupting any nesting behavior for the bar. I believe it's a woodpecker. There's something over there. So they flag out where it's safe for us to be, and we're very gentle. And of course, you know, pedal powered transportation is pretty darn green.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's down around the Ferndale Bottoms and into Kinetic Glory at the finish line.
The finish line, Main Street and Brown, named for the glorious founder, Hobart Brown. Mm-hmm. And the finish line is right in front of his old house and gallery, which is now a different kind of gallery, but still an art space, which is lovely.
Mind's Eye Manufacturing now.
Yeah. And we have a big party there. All the teams cross the finish line, lots of glory. Some of them, you know, scrabbling and racing to get the best time. Some of them dragging their broken sculptures and bodies, you know, bloody and bruised across, but all definitely in glory. I was just watching that episode of Beyond Geek, and they showed Fun Guy's team. Actually, his machine was completely in pieces, totally not able to move, but his team took the art off of their machine and walked it across the finish line.
That's the Kinetic way.
Absolutely.
That is.
And then we have, so that's a great one. The merch booth is down there, and you can see all the machines as they park and walk up and down those bands and parties and the adorable town of Ferndale, where we are now. And I think a lot of the local groups will come out and use the opportunity of the crowd to do some fundraisers. So you'll find, sandwiches or people selling drinks and food to raise money for different local causes, high schools and things like that.
And, of course, we will be covering the entire race live from start to finish here on KHUM. And we're really gearing up for extra good coverage this year. And we're teaming up with our sister blog, the Lost Coast Outpost, to give a lot of pictures and descriptions and live play-by-play. It's going to be a big multimedia
I think one of my favorite things when I was racing, other than the racing itself, obviously, was when I, at the end of the day, going home, on the day when you go home, and pulling up the blog and just looking at all the pictures from the day. Because when you're on a craft, you don't get to see all the other teams.
That is true.
Especially and that's when you're on Hoosier Daddy and you're way in the back
slow.
Of the pack.
That's why I always recommend that if you're on a sculpture, bring a radio with you so you can hear what's going on the race. You can hear what's happening on the race if you have it tuned to KHUM. And then, of course, you definitely want to check out the Lost Coast Outpost, all the pictures. There's going to be so many great pictures this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Also, during the race, before the race, but we have a brand new website, kineticgrandchampionship.com. It's all built from the ground up, and we're really trying to make it really useful for people. So we're putting a spectator's guide online there. So if you want to find out where the action is going, where to go in and out, where you should park, where the fun is, you can go on to kineticgrandchampionship.com and check that out under Spectator's Guide. And you can go look at that right now. In fact, we have a new opportunity for the crowd because this is Humboldt's largest free-to-watch event.
Mm-hmm.
We don't we looked at the cost of fencing off 47 miles of Humboldt County's roads, parks, trails.
That'd be a little difficult.
Yeah, it was a little cost prohibitive. But if you do want to buy a ticket to the race, you can still watch it for free. But you can go on kineticgrandchampionship.com and buy an invisible ticket.
Fantastic.
Which gives you the opportunity to support this entirely volunteer-run community event. And boy, could we use your support right now. We it's a nonprofit, and like I said, it's all volunteer-run. And if you go buy your invisible ticket to the Kinetic Grand Championship, while you can still watch it, you get to feel and exude an extraordinary amount of glory because you have helped us to pay for this insanity that keeps us sane.
Fantastic. Well, Katie, it has been wonderful. We've done the entire Kinetic gambit. Next month is May. It should be just Kinetic is what we should change the name of it.
Yeah, we'll just call it
Kinetic Month.
Kinetic Month.
I think so.
And, April, Kinetic Month, June.
And I don't know how you're getting home, but
I'm going to start walking back to Eureka
you
now.
You may be a permanent fixture here now.
You guys give me a job. I hear you're hiring.
Yeah, that's right. We are hiring. All right, we're gonna let our sponsors say their word, and maybe we'll play some music, too.
All right.
We do that every once in a while around here.